Esther chapter 4.
I like Esther.
I know you do. That's why I picked it. I thought Hallie's going to be here. She's going to want to hear about Esther.
I mean, she knows all you do. She's going to hear again.
Yeah. Maybe this will be something different you haven't heard before. I don't know. We'll see. 4. Okay, so I want to take this week. I know all of you guys have already been in the youth ministry. Shh. I know all of you guys have already been in the youth ministry. A few of you guys are new to the high school class. But our goal or our mission for YouGrow, the reason we call it YouGrow is because we want to see everybody grow, right? That's the goal, is to see you grow in your relationship with Christ. Whether that's accepting Christ as your Savior, it's committing to live your life like Him, getting discipled, sharing your faith with people, stepping out of your comfort zone, eliminating a particular sin from your life, or really anything else that will help you grow in your relationship with God. That is what our class mission is. That's what our goal is. That's what we try to do through teaching, through fellowship, through letting you guys share devotions and stuff from time to time. Those are the things that we're trying to get accomplished in your life. And so today I'm going to talk a little bit about just maybe what that looks like for you personally rather than collectively as a group. And then next week we'll have a little bit of a different lesson as well because it's the day we leave for camp. And then after that we'll start kind of a new series. So I think pretty much all of you guys understand or know like the idea of growing in your relationship with the Lord. Like that's not a new concept, or the idea of it is not necessarily a new thing. But when I talk about that, or when I'm trying to teach you guys how to apply a certain passage in your life, or how to understand what's going on in this particular verse or that particular verse, or trying to teach you on a particular topic, my job is to like transfer information and to help you guys get an understanding of things. But it's up to you guys to do, you guys and the Holy Spirit, to do the growing, right? Like, you guys have to apply the things that you're learning and the things that you're hearing. Otherwise, there's not going to be any growth there. And so, I want to have you guys start thinking about areas in your life that you would like to see growth, or an area of your life that you would like to see growth. You can pick one specific thing. I really want to focus on getting rid of this sin in my life, or I really want to focus on evangelism. We've been talking a lot about that. Or I really want to focus on, I feel like I don't know. I've been around church a long time, but I don't know a lot of things about the Bible that I should know. Or I really want to work on memorization. I feel like if I commit God's word to my heart, that will help me in my growth, or whatever. Like, think of an area of your life or a specific thing of your life that you would like to see growth in. And I want to talk about that a little bit today, and then I kind of want to hit on it every time we start like a new year, or this is not a new year, but like a new time in our class. This is a promotion Sunday, so it's always a good time to like kind of reflect back and to think about the future and to make plans for what you want the upcoming year to look like. I know the school year doesn't start until August, but thinking about like where you want to be, a year from now. And my pastor in Arizona, when we were there, every year in New Year's, we would have a lock-in, or it wasn't really a lock-in. It was like a get-together, I guess. We were all adults, but we got together at the pastor's house, and we would stay up all night. And then in the morning, we'd go to Cracker Barrel and have breakfast. But he always shared this verse. Is it in Psalms? I should have probably looked it up and put it in my notes. You know what I'm talking about?
4 years.
Yeah.
It's like Corinthians.
Is it Corinthians? I was thinking of Psalms. Let me see it. Hold on. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 8, you're right. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. And so he would always just talk to us about, when it's the new year, it's like, think about, are you ahead of where you were this time last year? Our goal should be, like, growing every year, so that next year when we look back on, promotion Sunday, or we look back on the new year or whatever, are we ahead of where we were that same time last year? It's just a good way to like kind of gauge whether or not you're growing, or is things exactly the same as they were before, or are they worse than they were before as far as your walk with the Lord? And so just thinking about those kinds of things and trying to identify areas in your life that you would like to see growth. Because the truth is, like, if you don't identify particular areas in your life that you want to see change and you want to see yourself grow, then you're not going to do those things. Like, it doesn't just magically happen. I mean, there is something to be said about being in church and being around other people and hanging out at our Sunday fun days, and which I didn't announce that. There's a Sunday fun day tonight at my house for all of you guys that are welcome to come. So, like, we do those things because we want to, like, hang out together, and like, those are good ways to fellowship and good opportunities to invite friends and things. But you can come to every single event that we do and every single class service that we have. But if you, like, walk out the doors and you don't do anything, if you don't do anything with what you're learning, then you're not going to grow. If you're not intentional about, you know, going back over, like, rereading the passage when you get home and, like, meditating on what it is that God showed you in that, or, you know, like, reading your Bible on your own. It doesn't have to be stuff that you hear from me or from this class. But if you're not intentional about areas that you want to grow in and trying to actually take steps to do that, then you're not going to grow. It's not, you're going to be the same as you were last year, or you're going to fall backwards if we're not intentionally trying to move forward. So last year, I think it was last year's Vision Conference when Mike Blake was here, he was talking about, like, the two biggest fears that people have. You guys remember what the two, or do you know what the two biggest fears that people have are? That's number two. Public speaking is number one. So he was talking, I don't know if it was a day session or when it was that he said this, but he was talking about how, you know, like, people have these two fears, public speaking and death, and that, like, as a Christian, we have been called to do things that are opposite of that, like, step out of our comfort zone and do those things. Like, public speaking, I'm not a public speaker, I don't love, like, public speaking, but, you know, God called me to public speak, and so I'm doing that. But all of us have, like, a job to tell people about Jesus, right? You don't have to be on a stage or in a pulpit to do that. You can do that in a small group setting or one-on-one even. But God calls us to share the gospel with people, and sometimes that involves public speaking or speaking up in a group, or even just, you know, standing out from everybody else because you're not doing what they're doing. And then death, like, he calls us to die daily, right? That's our job as a Christian, is to die to ourselves. And so he just made these cool parallels between, you know, the biggest fears that mankind has are the exact things that Christ has called us to. And so when we get saved, he gives us victory over those things. You know, it doesn't mean instantly you're going to love public speaking and you're not going to be afraid of death, but we don't have to fear those things anymore because it's our job to proclaim the gospel. And we don't have to be afraid of death anymore because we have the hope that when we die, you know, that we'll spend eternity with Christ. And so he takes away those fears and helps us to not be so uncomfortable when stepping out of our comfort zone. So so he talked about that, I think it was last year's Vision Conference. But anyway, so the idea of dying to ourselves and being out of our comfort zone, I want you guys to raise, I don't want you to raise your hands, but can you think of a time that you have stepped out of your comfort zone, or you have done something that was scary or intimidating for you to do, or uncomfortable for you to do, but you did it for God's glory? So, like, we have a lot of ministry opportunities around here. I know a lot of you guys are doing, like, CSA, and I know some of you guys have done other things around the church. But, like, just think about, has there been a time that you have actively decided, okay, this is not something that I want to do. I'm not comfortable doing this. I don't, you know, this is not my area of expertise or whatever. I don't feel super great about this, but I know that this is what I'm supposed to do. Whether it's serving in a ministry, whether it's sharing the gospel with someone, whether it's, you know, praying in front of a group of people, whether it's whatever, carrying your Bible to school, I don't know. Any of these kinds of things, like, hopefully you can think of examples of times that that's happened in your life. I don't want you to raise your hand because I don't want you to, I mean, maybe for some of you it's, like, hard to think of a time where you actually did something for Christ, not having nothing to do with yourself, actually something that you didn't want to do, or you were afraid to do, or nervous to do, but you did it anyways. And so, you know, I grew up in church. I think most of you guys know kind of my testimony. I grew up in church. By the time I was in middle school, high school, like, I could probably answer most Bible trivia questions. You know, like, I knew a lot of facts about the Bible. I knew all the Bible stories about, you know, that I had grown up learning. I knew the songs. I knew the books of the Bible. I had a lot of verses memorized. Like, I knew from the outside, like, I knew a lot of things about the Bible. And, you know, I could have answered a lot of trivia questions about the Bible. And, but those are not the things that are really, that's not applying what you're learning about the Bible. Like, most of you guys could probably answer a lot of questions that, like, normal people wouldn't know about different books of the Bible or different characters in the Bible or, you know, who married this person or who is this person's kid. Like, a lot of you guys could name those things, or you could tell me all the story about Esther, or you could tell me about Daniel in the lion's den, or you could tell me some of Jesus's, you know, parables and things. Like, a lot of you guys, I think pretty much all of you guys have grown up in church. Most of you guys have grown up in this church. And, you know, it's just one of those things that knowing information is great, but if you don't apply it, it's impossible to grow. And so I was talking with a lady in our church earlier this week, and Esther came up. We were just talking about, you know, thinking before you act and, like, having a plan and trying to, you know, just have a plan on what you're doing and to be, like, thoughtful about the things that you're trying to accomplish in your life. And she mentioned Esther and was just talking about, you know, how Esther was, like, very thoughtful and diligent and, you know, she was wise. She was not, like, quick to act, but she was definitely obedient and, she was willing to do the right things. But she spent time thinking about those things and meditating on it. And so, Esther chapter 4, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but if you start in verse 13, so basically, you guys, most of you guys probably know the story as I mentioned, but, you know, the king is kind of tricked into declaring this decree that, you know, on a certain day, all the Jews are going to be wiped out. And so Mordecai hears about this and, he's, kind of freaking out about it. And, word gets back to Esther that Mordecai is worrying about something. And so she sends somebody and they kind of have this back and forth conversation through this person that's going back and, relaying information. And so, verse 13, it says, "Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, 'Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?' Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, 'Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink three days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish.' So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him." And so, basically he's telling her, like, you're Jewish also. Don't you know that this is going to affect you? Don't think that because you're in the king's house that you're going to escape the slaughter of our people. Because he was trying to convince her to go before the king and to, you know, try to fight for or protect the Jews. And she's like, well, you know, like, you can't just walk before the king. You can't just go into the king's court and you have to be, you know, called upon. And if I go in there and he doesn't, like, you know, let me come into him, then he could kill me. And so, you know, it's this, like, difficult situation that she finds herself in. But Mordecai's like, you're going to die anyways. If you don't do this, then you're going to die with our people, you know, in these months to come whenever this happens. And if you do go in, maybe you'll die, but maybe he'll, you know, maybe you'll find grace in his eyes and maybe he'll allow you to come in. And so she sends back word saying, you know, you gather up all the Jews that you can find in the area, and me and my maids will do the same, and we'll pray and we'll fast for 3 days about the situation. And so it's hard to, I think, sometimes to put ourselves in these situations, but I don't know exactly how old she was. A lot of things say that she was probably, you know, late teens, early 20s. I read some stuff that maybe she was up as old as 40, but a lot of stuff was saying she's probably, you know, late teens, early 20s at this time. And to go, so a lot of you guys are roughly that age, to think about what it would be like to be put in a situation where either, you know, in 6 months, you know, all of your family, all your people is going to be wiped out, or you have to risk your life to go and put yourself in a situation that is dangerous, that you could be killed, but you also could not die, and you're doing that in order to help, you know, protect your people, basically. And so that's the situation that she finds herself in. I don't think any of us will find ourselves in that severe of a life and death situation, but you never know, like, what things, you know, can happen in your life. We have missionaries that we support and that we're in contact with that are in this very situation, not with a king situation, but where they're persecuted, their houses have been burned, they've been, you know, kicked out of their towns just for professing Christ. They're not trying to, you know, cause problems. They're just trying to follow the Lord, and they're being persecuted for that. And that's happening even today, like right now. And so, you know, there are real life situations where this passage is applicable. But, you know, as she's meditating about or thinking about this, yeah, you have a question? Does this pertain to what we're talking about?
Oh.
Okay, tell me afterwards. Yeah, so she's thinking about the situation that she's been put in, and again, she's diligent and thoughtful about the way that she handles it. She's not rushing into it. She's not just, you know, the obvious choice is to, yeah, go in and try to defend your people, and that's what Mordecai's asking her to do. But she's obedient and willing to do that. She just wants to be thoughtful and considerate before she does it, and be prayerful about it. And so she spends these 3 days praying and fasting. And, you know, I don't know all the prayers that she was saying at that time, but you can kind of imagine the kinds of things that you would be asking God for, you know, protection and open the king's heart and, you know, protect my people and help me to be wise in the things that I say and, you know, my countenance and my demeanor and all these different kinds of things that she would have been asking God for. But at the end of verse 16, she says, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So she kind of eventually gets to this point where she's like, you know, if I die, I die, I guess. But I'm going to do what needs to be done. I'm going to step out of my comfort zone. I'm going to do the hard thing that I don't want to do in order that my people be protected. And so it's just a good, like, reminder or thing to think about. You know, we're not likely to be called upon to put ourselves in physical danger. But, you know, stepping out of our comfort zone in 2026 America looks a lot different than it did back in the Bible times. Like, stepping out of your comfort zone could be, you know, carrying your Bible to school. It could be praying over your lunch in the cafeteria at school. It could be telling somebody about Jesus. It could be inviting someone to church. It could be all kinds of things, you know. It could be just reading your Bible at home. You know, maybe you live in a house that they don't, you know, necessarily want you to do that. It could be all kinds of different things. But stepping out of our comfort zone is important, because if we don't do that, if we're unwilling to make ourselves uncomfortable, then we're not going to grow. And we can't grow if we don't have discomfort. I read this quote as I was getting ready for this. It's by a guy named Peter McWilliams. I don't know who he is. But he says, comfort zones are most often expanded through discomfort. And so if you think about that, like, we all have our comfort zone, right? The area that, you know, that we're comfortable in, the things that we are comfortable doing. Usually it involves our routine, you know, our house, like the places that we feel comfortable, the places that we feel like we can be ourselves. Food, yeah. If we don't intentionally make ourselves uncomfortable in some way, stepping outside of our comfort zones, doing things that don't come naturally to us, or doing things that are uncomfortable for us, then the comfort zone is not going to expand. It only expands through discomfort. And so, like when we're getting ready to go share the gospel on Thursday, with people at the World Cup, that's going to be uncomfortable. Right? That's going to be outside of any of our comfort zones. That's not a comfortable situation to put ourselves in. Again, it's likely not a dangerous situation that we're putting ourselves in, but it's just an opportunity to be uncomfortable for Christ. And so if we want to expand our comfort zone, if we want to be able to be more comfortable doing things for the Lord, that is never going to come without, like, doing the uncomfortable things. Right? Like, who were we talking about with the yesterday or the day before? I think it was, you were there. I was talking about, no, you weren't there. It was Nick. It was in my office. Anyways, it was on Thursday, I think. You were there. Yeah. So we're talking about learning Spanish. And I was like, I would love to learn Spanish, but I don't want to learn Spanish enough to go through the discomfort of a year or two of practicing and, you know, learning Spanish I just wish that I knew how to speak Spanish. It would be handy from time to time in my life. I also wish I knew how to play the guitar. That's another one of those things that, like, I think it would be great to know how to play guitar. Huh? Go build a tower. Oh, yeah. No, I'm not going to try that. Yeah, there's things that, like, I wish that I could do, but I don't wish it enough to put in the time and the effort to do those things. And so, you know, do I really want to do those things? No. Because if I really wanted to do those things, then I would learn how to do them. I would make time in my life to do those things. And I haven't. I'm 41. I'm not going to learn either one of those things, most likely. So, but you have to be uncomfortable. You have to be willing to be uncomfortable. There are areas of my life where I have decided, okay, I will be uncomfortable in order so that I can grow, in order so that other people can grow. And so, you know, there are areas of my life that I'm willing to do that. There's other areas of my life that I'm just like, you know, it's not, that's not that important. So, for you guys, consider what areas of your life are you willing to be uncomfortable? Are you willing to step out of your comfort zone and to grow, to be more like Christ, to grow in your relationship with Him? None of it happens automatically, right? I mean, you cannot grow in your relationship with Him if you're unwilling to do anything for Him, to apply the things that you're learning. Any growth takes discomfort. You guys have had growing pains, probably, like where your body physically hurts from growing. You know, that's that you have to. It is painful to grow, but if you don't experience the pain, then you don't grow. So the other option is, you know, you stay the same and you don't have that pain. But you know, growth comes from getting outside of our comfort zone. And so, you know, what area would you like to get victory in your life? What area would you like to see some growth in? What area would you like to look back on a year from now and say, man, I'm glad that I don't struggle with that anymore, or I'm glad that I overcame that fear, or I'm glad that, you know, I'm doing better in this area, or I'm glad that I spent the time and made myself uncomfortable. You know, maybe you got to get up a little bit earlier so you can read your Bible, or maybe you got to stay up a little bit later so you can read your Bible, or maybe you start a Bible study at your school, or I don't know, like whatever the thing is for you guys. All of you guys are going to have, if I went around right now and had you say something, all of you guys would probably have something different or some variation that's different from each other. But just be thinking about what areas that you would like to see growth in, and then are you actually willing to be uncomfortable in order to make that happen? And so it's about counting the cost. You guys have probably heard that's like a, you know, a church phrase that we use because the Bible uses that phrase, counting the cost, to consider, is something worth doing or is something not worth doing? And so you know, it's important that we count the cost on, you know, I've counted the cost on learning Spanish. It's not worth it to me. The cost is too high, even though it's pretty low. It's too high for what I'm willing to pay to do that. Okay, Brenda and I like to go on vacations. It's one of our favorite things to do. Sometimes when we're looking at vacation places, we have to change our dates or to make it shorter or not go as far away or not get to the beach because it's too expensive. It's not worth the cost, or we don't have the cost to pay at that time. So we have to count the cost on everything that we do in life. But specifically when it comes to spiritual things, it's important that we count the cost and decide if it's worth doing it. If we're willing to pay the price in order to see the growth. And so, yeah, let's wrap it up right there. And I'll pray, and then you guys can depart. Huh? I will have those at camp. Well, this is, yeah, I guess you could use that. This is kind of like get the juices flowing, you know, like I'll talk a little bit more about it next week, and then we'll lead into camp, and then you'll have all week to be thinking about it. So it's just kind of like a primer, I guess, get you thinking about it. Yeah, sure.
Who's doing the band at camp?
Who's doing the what? The music is...